Charges dismissed. Tommy Robinson is a free man, thankfully, and he just had his charges dropped in a UK courtroom, and he's speaking with us exclusively tonight. A would-be trans mass shooter had their plan completely foiled, thankfully, by law enforcement. Mia Cathell has been on the story exclusively, and she joins us today to discuss. There's more evidence that 5G is actually messing with people's reproductive organs, and Gina Paith is joining us tonight to discuss. Judge Eileen Cannon has completely demolished Jack Smith and his persecution of President Donald Trump by simply exposing the documents they wanted concealed. I'll detail the latest. All that and more on The Brianna Morello Show. Happy Wednesday, everyone. Welcome to tonight's program. We're so excited you've decided to join us, of course. So thank you for that. Now, we've got a packed program ahead of you today. So let's just dive into some of the headlines that are really standing out to me. Let's jump into the first one in case you guys missed it earlier today. It looks like, well, Judge Eileen Cannon has been dropping massive, massive bombs. And all she's just doing is she's exposing the documents that are being turned over by the prosecutors, special prosecutor Jack Smith, and, well, she's exposing their lies. Now, the prosecutor obviously wants them to redact all these documents. We spoke about this yesterday with Julie Kelly, who's been diving into all of this. And, well, Judge Cannon's not having it. And because of her bravery, we're now getting an inside look at how the prosecutors, especially specifically the DOJ, the Biden DOJ, has targeted President Donald J. Trump. And well, let's take a look at this tweet. This is just in addition to everything we spoke about yesterday. We'll highlight that in just a moment. This tweet from Julie Kelly highlights a specific portion in just documents that were just recently unsealed as of today. In these unsealed documents, it's actually pretty jarring because the lead prosecutor in all of this, who is Jay Bratt, well, he apparently threatened Stanley Woodward and his, who's the attorney for one of the other defendants in this case, who's works for Donald Trump, obviously. He was one of the individuals who was charged in the classified document case in Florida. Well, they're threatening, here, let this sink in. So they're threatening a judiciary nomination if he did not get into his client flipping against President Trump. Now, often we talk about this, right? It's the reason why they charge so many people who really don't have anything to do with the cases that are being brought up against President Trump. They're doing it to flip it. And ultimately here, what's happening is that they tried flipping one of the other defendants in this same classified documents case to go against the president. And so they're threatening this individual. It's all jarring. It's all deeply concerning, but it's not unexpected. It's what they're doing in Fulton County as well with the overcharging of just regular folks, people who had nothing to do with this. People were just door knockers in Georgia. Now, Kyle Becker has done a great job of just highlighting it, I should say. And he's going through what Julie Kelly has released, but he's simplifying it all. And in it, he's giving you probably like the top most important things that really stood out so far in the documents that are being released by Judge Cannon. In it, he's saying Jack Smith, who's the special prosecutor you mentioned, hid the fact that the National Archives had several conversations with the Biden White House about bringing charges against Donald Trump. Again, folks, they just made it seem like the National Archives brought this case to the DOJ and it wasn't the other way around. But now because these documents have been released and they have been unsealed, we know that wasn't the case. That was a lie. And Julie Kelly broke it down for us on our show yesterday. So you guys could go back to our interview with her if you wanted to get a deep dive into that. Now, also, they're going into about Garland lied about the independence of the investigation, what we just mentioned again. And then Biden DOJ instructed the National Archives on how to cover up their coordination efforts between the two. Again, we discussed that yesterday with Julie Kelly. It also detailed the Department of Energy and how they were able to somehow retroactively terminate President Trump's active security clearance. And again, folks, this highlights how the Biden regime is the actual criminals who need to be investigated here and not President Donald J. Trump. And ultimately, I'd have to say that is true. And thankfully, we have Judge Cannon on this case, who was just randomly selected to take on this case. And well, she is not being biased at all. She's being as fair as possible in this situation. And she's telling the special prosecutor, we will not back down and we will sit here and we will reveal all of these documents because they should not be redacted. And that is just so critical. And thankfully, she is bold enough to do just that. Now, speaking of corruption, you guys might remember this guy, FBI Director Christopher Wray. We talk about him all the time on this show. But the FBI director was sat down for an interview with NBC. And well, in this interview that Christopher Wray is doing, he is ultimately saying that the FBI does not surveil protests. Let's take a listen.
There's an environment right now we're seeing play out on some college campuses, the protests over what's happening in Gaza. Are you watching that warily? Are you concerned about threats emanating from these demonstrations?
Well, of course, demonstrations themselves are not something that we, the FBI, get involved in. But when violence ensues, that's when we get concerned, when you have threats of violence. And so we have seen, even before October 7th, we saw a significant increase, especially in anti-Semitic threats and anti-Semitic violence. And since October 7th, that number has gone up quite substantially.
Are you actively monitoring these protests?
We don't monitor protests, but we do share intelligence about specific threats of violence with campuses, with state and local law enforcement, but we don't monitor protests.
You know what that sounds like, guys? That sounds like a lie. And he knows that. We know that the FBI monitors protests. We know it. We've seen it before. We have actually seen them send their own in. And we know it because, well, they don't want to talk about it. So Mr. Christopher Wray over there is lying to the American people, but he knows about it. That's why he didn't get any pushback, of course, from that NBC anchor. They never really push back. They don't want to hold the intel community accountable. And so they ask these questions. And then once they realize they're not going to answer, they move on. Because they're all cowards. But we know that Christopher Wray does, in fact, have FBI agents, FBI informants, who do show up to protests. We saw it all play out for January 6th. But speaking about these pro-Hamas protests that have been taking place all across the country, I mean, Christopher Wray wants to talk about them there. Let's talk about it briefly. Again, today, folks, there was a video that was coming out about all these protests popping up all around the country at college campuses. Who the heck is paying for these? That should be the first question Christopher Wray has to answer, because he should be looking into that. Obviously, people who don't have the best interests of the American people at heart are the ones who are paying for it. And we all know that they're supporting terrorists, and they probably don't even realize it themselves, these protesters. So obviously, college kids are very vulnerable. They're individuals who do not have a high amount of income. And so might they show up to a protest if you offer them a little bit of cash? Absolutely. So we probably should be looking into just that. These aren't protesters that know why they're there. We've seen that before. They have no idea when you ask them why they're there. And they're getting violent. And that is the key point, all this. Now, earlier today as well, Mike Johnson did show up to Columbia University, the speaker, and he did speak there. He was heavily booed, but it wasn't for the actual reason that it should have been. It was because he was giving a pro-Israel stance on everything, which is very, very interesting. Let's jump into our next story. It has to do with New York and squatters. Now, here on this show, we've talked about it quite often. In the state of New York, squatters have more rights than landlords, but it looks like that's actually changing. And it's all because, thankfully, the governor really acted quickly, which rarely happens here. We all know that in New York, they are usually pro-criminals. But here, I guess it was just bad PR for the state. And so now they have officially changed the definition of the term squatters. Now, ultimately, what it means someone staying on a property without permission from its owner or the owner's representative. This wording, lawmakers say, will make it easier for police to intervene in squatting cases. And that's something that seriously needs to happen, because we all saw the images. We talked about it on this show. They literally dragged off homeowners who were trying to get their homes back in handcuffs for simply showing up to their property. Because, well, in New York, you could do things like that. So states like mine, Florida, we don't allow it. We quickly pass legislation to make sure that these things don't happen. And it looks like New York is catching on, which is refreshing. But then there's other states, of course, and other cities that aren't very, let's say, reasonable. Places like Detroit. Now, in this next package we're going to play, it comes from a local news station in Detroit. The anchor, it appears, is interviewing a squatter who has no issue being a squatter, and she tells you why. Take a listen.
If I left my house, mm-hmm. say for a month.
And a half.
Mm-hmm. You think you would be entitled to move in there?
Well,
take my stuff.
Well, it's a lot of, I'm not the only one that is squatting. It's a lot of other people on the block, if you want to be technical, you know, and a lot of people encouraged me to do what I'm doing now.
But she wants her place back.
Yeah, but I have put a lot of work in here, and I spent a lot of money. I am on a fixed income.
Is that power hooked up legit there?
My power is...
That's not legit.
It's not legit.
No, you stealing a little bit of power.
I am blessed.
What do you do for a living?
I receive Social Security. I don't have
what
no
happened?
Secrets.
Disability?
Yes.
What's your ailment?
I'm not going to say.
You know, that's her right. That's...
It's hard to believe that that's real. Disturbing, woman's piece of garbage, obviously. But this is the reason why you got to kick squatters out. They think just because you put money into the home that you're going to stay there. Disgusting, disturbing. I can't even. It's infuriating. So many Americans are trying to, you know, gather an investment, chip away at the American dream and get their little piece of it. And they're doing so through real estate. And then it's low lives like that who are sitting there and taking complete advantage of it. And the homeowners are forced to take on the financial burden in all of this. And it's bankrupting a lot of them. So it's disgusting that we're allowing this to take place in our country and allowing pieces like garbage like that to continue to collect Social Security, steal their neighbor's electricity, steal someone's property. And then guess what? They get to pick up and move on to the next house. And that's just how things work. It's disgusting. It's disturbing. But it's no surprise. This is what's going on in our country right now. And so many people just don't give a damn about hardworking Americans and the type of things that they have to do to stay afloat these days. And it's really, really just heartbreaking. So those are some of the headlines that I think you guys should be read up on. I'm so glad we were able to catch up on everything. But we've got a jam-packed program for you tonight. I've got a very interesting story coming from Mia Cathell, and well, you don't want to miss that one. It has to do with the wannabe trans mass shooter. This story is extremely disturbing, and you don't want to miss it. We've also got Tommy Robinson for an exclusive interview since having his case dropped in the UK. It was an incredible story, and he's going to join us in just a few moments to discuss. There's so much more to go through, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We are very excited to announce that we are teaming up with one of my favorite doctors, Dr. Syed Haider, to promote his program as well as he's helping us promote ours too. But ultimately, I got to tell you about the services because I use them all the time. I've been using these for months now, and it's one of my favorite go-to doctors. And the website's also mygotodoc.com, which just happens to be very funny in itself. But Dr. Haider is one of those doctors who, if you are dealing with anything related to COVID, he's your source for all of this. Let's say it's like long-term COVID issues that you're having. Maybe or a loved one is vaccinated and you're looking to overcome the side effects of getting the vaccine. He's got all of the resources that you guys will need on his website. So I highly recommend right now you head over to mygotodoc.com. That's mygotodoc.com. And take a look at all of the things he does offer. He also has like weight loss programs, essential medical kits. If you're traveling around the world, this is something you're going to want, especially in your suitcase. So that's a great resource, as well as supplements he has on his website. And just for being a listener of our show, he's going to extend a 10% discount for our audience with the promo code BREE. That's BRE. You'll get the 10% off. So make sure you utilize that. And you can use that in the services and the medications as well. So it's definitely really, really important to do so. And again, folks, he's got this post-vaccine protocol that is incredible. If you have a loved one who's dealing with these side effects, this is something you want them to kind of look into. It is very, very important. So again, the website is mygotodoc.com and the promo code is BREE, B-R-E. And Dr. Haider is actually joining us tomorrow to talk about his services as well as ivermectin. He's a big advocate for ivermectin. He's the reason why I have it, and I was able to use it during COVID as somebody who's asthmatic. And normally for a cold, I need a nebulizer. I also have to go to the doctors. Sometimes I've had to go to the emergency rooms because it gets so bad. When I had COVID at the beginning of the pandemic, I didn't have any issues. And that's just me, my personal experience. Of course, everyone's different and I'm not a doctor, but it's just one of the key tools that I use in my home every single day. And you could also jump on that resource as well by going to mygotodoc.com and definitely use that promo code BREE if you want to save some money. Who doesn't want to save money? So save 10% off with BREE, B-R-E at checkout. We'll be right back. A would-be trans mass shooter has just had their plan to shoot up a school in Maryland completely foiled, thankfully. It's a disturbing story, must warn you, and we have to bring you the details because it's gut-wrenching. But thankfully, like we mentioned, this person did not get to carry out their plot. Her name, Andrew Yee. Now, ultimately, this is a biological woman pretending to be a man, so we will go by the biological gender. But ultimately what happened here is law enforcement were able to get the manifesto that this individual had provided another one of their friends with, somebody who they had previously known from getting psychological help. And that individual turned over the manifesto. And I want to go through some of the details that are being laid out in that manifesto through court documents. Now, this is all because of the great work that Mia Cathill is doing from Town Hall. So let me walk you through this. These are a couple of portions of the manifesto. We don't have the full manifesto, so keep that in mind. On one part of the manifesto that was released, we're seeing that the shooter was also trans. Now, she's referring to the Nashville shooting in this. I should include that context. So she ultimately saw what happened in Nashville and wanted to do the same exact thing in Maryland, into a Maryland school. And so this is what she's referring to here. The shooter was also trans. His name was Aiden Hale, though the news keep calling him Aubrey. Makes me want to change my name legally before I commit a shooting to make sure the news doesn't misgender me. He was also suicidal before the shooting, just like me. And then he also too wanted to kill little kids. Now, it doesn't end there. There's another part of this manifesto that we are just seeing the sections to because of those court documents. So on that second part that we're also seeing, thanks to Town Hall, it says on page 38, Yee recalled reading news of a shooting on another elementary school where the death toll was relatively low. The kill count isn't very high. I could probably beat it, Yee says. My ultimate goal would be to set the world record for the most amount of kills in a shooting. Now, it's heartbreaking, again, folks, because she's referring to potentially an elementary school. And that in itself, I mean, here you have it right here. I have also considered shooting up my former elementary school because little kids make easier targets. I mean, just that alone is disgusting and disturbing in itself. But again, this is somebody who has mental health issues, does identify as the opposite gender, and wants everyone else to comply with just that. So let's dig into some of these details as well, because there's a lot more to dive into. And Mia Cathill has been the one doing so over at Town Hall. So she joins us right now to discuss. Mia, first off, I wanted to thank you for not giving up on this story and digging into these court documents, because I haven't seen this type of coverage anywhere else. And everyone else fell off the story after you were able to confirm that this biological woman was identifying as a man. And you didn't let up on that. You continue to dig. So thank you for just conducting great journalism. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
So I wanted to dive into just those two sections of the manifesto that were released in the court documents. I think that's really telling. What was your reaction when reading this? Because, you know, you've covered the Nashville shooting as well. We still haven't gotten the full manifesto in that case either, which is disturbing in itself. So when you're reading through this and you're seeing these graphic, horrible details, what was your initial reaction?
Well, I see that this person's gender dysphoria is obviously fueling a big part of her mental health crisis. It makes you also wonder if during the time she was seeing her high school guidance counselor, if she was placed on testosterone, if she was going through hormone therapy replacement, and perhaps it was some kind of roid rage, some kind of steroids that has been fueling her anger. Mm-hmm. Because that's what a lot of people speculated as well with the transgender covenant killer. And seeing that she was partly inspired, she idolized, she praised, she said it really resonated with her, Hale's actions. So it made me wonder why the officials in Montgomery County are burying the lead. They aren't saying she's transgender. They are calling her by her preferred pronouns, by her made-up male name, Alex. They said this in the probable cause statements you're pulling excerpts of, and during the press conference on Friday. And I think that's just, you know, tossing gasoline on this fire instead of remedying what may be, you know, the root of all of her anger.
Yeah. And I think you bring up a great point. You know, I've spoken to doctors who do say these hormones do cause psychological issues on people. Do you know, so I read from your story that there were some psychological issues with this young woman and that she was receiving help. In it, she also, you know, admits that she can't be honest with her psychiatrist, because if she does tell her psychiatrist that she's having these forms of thoughts, that she could be sent back. Did you get any type of maybe insight into whether the hormones might have been the direct correlation to amplifying these horrific ideas of mass shooting children?
There hasn't been any confirmation of her transitioning, past her changing her name, changing her look, going by different pronouns. But other than that, that's just speculation for now. But she's been obviously on the law enforcement's radar since 2020. So she previously threatened to shoot up the school. That's why she received a no trespassing order. So police have been aware of her homicidal ideations for almost 2 years now. So you would think this would have been addressed much sooner. I think the reason that the school district decided to act was her finishing her memoir, her autobiography. That's how she described the manifesto. And also it's coming up on the 25th anniversary of Columbine. That was last weekend, the week of Yu's arrest. So I think all of this kind of culminated at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too. And, you know, I have to be honest, I'm really proud of law enforcement for acting on that tip. So many times I'm covering these stories, whether it's Parkland, where law enforcement didn't act on any of the tips that they were getting from that shooter in Parkland. And sadly, it led to the shooter carrying out what they wanted to do. And, you know, dozens of children have been killed because of it. So it was really refreshing to see law enforcement actually go and investigate this tip, because it's something that we should all be fearful of. Now, I wanted to go back to the mental health issues because it is heartbreaking in itself, and I don't want to sound cruel. Ultimately, this girl probably likely had some sexual abuse at a young age. In one part of the manifesto that you guys highlight too in your article, which is so well written, she writes, "But the truth is, I sometimes think I'm a pedophile. I get turned on by little kids and want to touch them the same way I was touched. The pedo thoughts definitely freak me out more than any other thought I've had, even the mass shooting." I mean, that one really pulled at my heart because I think there's a lot here that hopefully they could dive into. Your reaction to that, because, it was an important piece for you to include, but it's just gut-wrenching to hear.
I think that part is definitely very telling, as we can see more into her psyche. I think this is the case for a lot of those who have child sexual abuse cases. They end up having issues with their sexuality down the line, and sometimes they transition because they're afraid of their sexuality being hypersexualized. So I can see this being a case where that's why she started identifying as a man, started changing her hair, her clothes, her name. And so I do believe there's some truth to that. Reportedly, she did report the sexual abuse, but CPS declined to take the case. This is, of course, all from the police notes.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking. It really is. And this is why it's so important to take those claims seriously. And it's just heartbreaking when they're not. I want to talk about the charges right now. So can you give us kind of an understanding of what she's facing? And she still has not been released. Is that correct?
That's right. She had a bail hearing on Friday and the judge denied her bond. So she's currently still being held in county jail pending a jury trial, which has already been scheduled for June. And so she's, of course, going to be tried as an adult because she is currently 18. She's been charged officially with threats of mass violence. Now, that's a misdemeanor in Maryland that only carries up to 10 years in prison.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see how that plays out. I'm sure the mental health issues will also weigh on them as well. And right before we go, Mia, I wanted to say, you know, this story broke and a couple of media outlets did pick it up, but everyone has since fallen off of it. Why do you think we have this issue with the media these days where they see a story like this, and once they get confirmation that this individual is somebody of a protected community, whether it's the, you know, LGBT community, they kind of fall off of it? Why do you think that happens in the media? You would know best, obviously, because you're a journalist.
Well, of course, this is a case that they don't want to touch with a 10-foot pole. They don't want to identify her as transgender. If she was, of course, a straight white Christian male, we'd see the names plastered all over the newspapers. When I went down to the Maryland courthouse to physically pick up the court documents, because that's the only way, they don't send it out electronically as government does. And they had already, the clerk's office had printed out a stack of the court documents expecting a media frenzy, which never came. They said I was the only reporter that came that day. This was last Friday. They were just surprised. They thought they'd have reporters knocking down their door. But this was something, even though it's a huge case in their backyard, media, even local media, doesn't care to pay attention to it.
Yeah, it's disturbing. I mean, you did a great job, and your article right now on townhall.com is incredible. So I'm going to direct our audience to go over there right now to read it, because this is great journalism. This is what journalism is meant to be, with you physically going down there, getting those court records, and then publishing them for others to even pick up the story and run with it. Because that's ultimately what these other media outlets could be doing. They could be just citing you, giving you the right credit, and running with the story, but they've chosen not to. And there's a reason for that always. Mia, we're going to continue to blast out this story and continue to highlight the great work you're doing over at Town Hall. So thank you for doing everything that you're doing right now and bringing this to our attention.
Thanks for highlighting this story. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, we've got good news for our friend, Tommy Robinson. He just had one of his recent court cases dismissed. And well, it's a very interesting dismissal that we have received. But ultimately, the judge in that case telling Tommy and the prosecutors that there's no case for the defendant to answer to, and then he went on to dismiss it. Now, let's discuss all of this and break it down. Many of you might recall Tommy was at a protest 6 months ago. It was a pro-Israel protest, and he did make the appearance there. Within about 35 seconds of his arrival, he was arrested by Metro Police. And, well, then he was maced while he was being detained. And, well, according to the court records that I've gone through, magically, the body cam footage from nearly 20 officers disappeared, vanished. It wasn't there for when Tommy's legal team asked for it, which is strange. But ultimately, again, folks, this case really highlights how corrupt the police are in London because, again, this all took place. There was no evidence against him. They're saying that he completely ignored a Section 35, which is a warning to leave an area. That never took place. That never happened. He was there for less than 35 seconds. Even the judge calling that out, saying that you didn't give him enough time to comply with Section 35. And the judge in this case really just not having it with police and the prosecutors. Because ultimately, when they asked for the footage, the body cam footage, they were only able to give them two clips. And it was even before the incident took place. It was Tommy coming down the stairs. So they didn't have any of the evidence there to support this argument. But like we said, this happened 6 months ago. Tommy's been banned from London, the capital, obviously. And, well, he's had to take on a burden of legal expenses. But thankfully, he has great support from people who we love on this show, like Katie Hopkins, who was there with Tommy as he was making his way in and out of court earlier this week. She tweeted out this adorable congratulations. Thank you all. The wonderful crowd at the court to support Tommy Robinson. Truly, there is no better crowd to be amongst. And then she goes on to saying that we were tested, but they pushed back. And ultimately, that's what you have here. They were defiant. And that is what's so important in this. So let's bring in journalist Tommy Robinson for his very first interview since all of this happened. We're so excited to have you on the program today. Congratulations on this big legal victory. Looks like the judge said to the cops, obviously, and the prosecutor that they had no case to really bring forward, and the judge just dismissed the charges. Now, you were potentially facing 3 months in prison for these charges, all in regards to them saying that you didn't leave an area and they gave you instructions to do so. They, in the UK, it's Section 35, it looks like. But ultimately, when you're on trial, they didn't have the body cam footage that they were supposed to present you with. That magically disappeared, even though there was a sea of over 20 different officers there. And then on top of it, you know, the judge slammed them by pretty much saying that you only gave him about 30 seconds to comply with your orders, and then you immediately arrested him. And that doesn't give him enough time to comply with Section 35. So your reaction to the judge's claims in this final decision, and how are you feeling today knowing that these charges are now dismissed?
I guess I should be happy. I am happy. But for the last 6 months, I've had my liberties and freedoms taken from me. I've been banned from entering my capital city. I've not been able to work. I've not been able to carry out my journalism. I've been under complete control of the Metropolitan Police Force. So I'm still frustrated with what they're allowed to get away with. I went to work on the 26th of November as a journalist. Okay, I went to report on an anti-Semitism rally. My journalism, I've gone to Germany, I've gone to Austria, I've gone to France, I've gone to Sweden. I've gone all over reporting on demonstrations and current politics to the people who subscribe to my work to give them the truth of what's happening on the ground. I went to this event. I was approached by a group of police officers and told I needed to leave the city. This Section 35 order is absurd in itself. Yeah, they came in, you have to leave the city. Your presence is going to cause alarm and distress to people. That's what they said. Now, bearing in mind this was a rally against anti-Semitism, because for the months prior to this point, we had seen jihadists and pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas supporters taking over our capital city week in, week out, literally calling for jihad, calling for gassing of Jews. None of these people had been given these orders. None of them. I was put under arrest. As I walked out of the cafe to start my reporting, the police come up to me. They said I needed to leave. They then manhandled me. I tried to explain to them, under this order, the next section is that they cannot give someone this order if they're employed to be there. I was employed to be there. I'm a journalist. They cannot give a journalist this order. They would not listen to that. I tried to explain that to them. They wouldn't listen. Then as they took me down the stairs and manhandled me, I said my car keys, because they were going to take me out of the area. My car's in the area. You can't take me out of the area. So I tried to explain that. The police officer's words were, I don't care. They then grabbed me. They twisted me up. They handcuffed me. And from point blank range, they maced me in the eyes. Now, all of this, I've been through the politicised judiciary for 13, 14 years since the start of my activism. So I had zero confidence. There was no jury in this case. I had zero confidence I was coming out of this. I believed I'd be in prison for 3 months because I've gone through this before. It doesn't matter about the evidence. But what happened at the start of this trial was the police officers had to give evidence. So my King's Counsel got to cross-examine them. I had a fabulous support by the public who hired me the best defence I could have. When we got into court, when the police had to give evidence, it wasn't just, there was so much that they done wrong. For example, the police officer stood up in court and admitted falsifying evidence. They had an order, and they had two orders, number one and number two. Now we had their order, and the order on the 26th, which they had one from the 24th and one on the 26th, which gives them authority to give people these dispersal orders because they believe there's going to be trouble. The fact that I was at a pro-Israel demonstration, and I am pro-Israel, there would have been no trouble or no risk for me. I was a journalist. I wasn't there as a support. I was there to ask some questions. They had the order on the 26th. Now the order on the 26th didn't come in until 2 o'clock. They arrest me at 1 o'clock. They then go on at 4 o'clock to the order on the computer and change the time to 10 o'clock in the morning to make it legal, which is falsifying evidence. They did not have a legit order. Then the location that I was in, they have an exclusion zone in this legislation and they had a map. I wasn't even in the exclusion zone. So when they arrested me, I wasn't even in the area. Then the police officer who gave authority to implement the order on me didn't have authority. He's got no authority. He's from the City of London. We're in the Borough of Westminster. Literally every single point that we went through, they had no authorization. And not did you say they had no authorization, which we went into the order. Even if they did, even if they ticked all the boxes, then I was a journalist, they're not allowed to give me the order. And when they approach you with these orders, they have to give you a reasonable time to leave. From the point of them approaching me, they manhandled me. I say to them, which way am I going? They then say, you're arrested. 35 seconds. The point of this was the decision had been made days prior. If Tommy Robinson's there, arrest him. The reason being, again, for the last 6 months, the process is the punishment in these cases. I have spent the last 6 months banned from entering my capital city. I have not been able to do my work. I was arrested for violating this order for going into London on my daughter's birthday in front of my children. Yeah? I applied to take my children to the Christmas lights turn on and I was refused. I had to go to a Muslim police officer called PC Shah in London, part of the Metropolitan Police Force. And if I wanted to come into London, this was under the judge's orders. If I want on a case with no evidence, under the judge's orders, if I wished to come into London, I would have to apply. And then I applied to go and interview a member of parliament who I had a meeting set up with. The Muslim police officer refused it. I applied to take my children to go to the Christmas lights turn on. The Muslim police officer refused it. Everything I applied to do was refused. Now, the worrying thing is, this has cost me £60,000. £60,000. Now, the good thing about this is I've made this into a film. It's called Lawfare, a Totalitarian State. I've documented every point of it to show the public. On this one case, I'm lucky. The whole world saw that video. They saw I didn't do anything. Everyone knows I didn't break any law. We found the judge stood on the side of truth. He dismissed the case. I didn't get a guilty or not guilty. He absolutely tore them a new one, dismissed it, saying, you have no evidence. There is no case to answer. Now, that means my arrest was unlawful. The mace spraying in my eyes was unlawful. The bail conditions limiting my freedom as a journalist, my freedom of assembly and my freedom of speech were unlawful. I spent 72 hours in police custody, but the judge hasn't awarded me back my money. He hasn't awarded. So have I won? Have I really won? And the point I make in this documentary, the one you've got the promo on there for, the point I make in this documentary, this is one point. I go back and this has happened to me for 15 years. Yeah. It's lawfare. It's a weapon. They weaponize it. They weaponize the judiciary. And the point of it is to break you. On this one case, I had to go to court 8 separate occasions. I had meetings with my lawyers, 2 hours, 2 hours, 2 hours, paying for every meeting, paying for my travel, all of these things. As I said, not able to work, not able to do my job, not able to enjoy my freedoms for 6 months. And when it gets before a judge, there's no evidence at all. They've got no case. In fact, they haven't just got no case. They should be getting criminalised. They should be getting, they're the ones that need charging for falsifying evidence. The media sat and listened to all this. That judgment that I've sent you, the media sat and listened to the whole case. And they said that he got a date wrong on a form, which again is just a distortion of the truth. That's not what happened in the case. But I am happy, or I should be happy. I am happy, but I'm happy. But I know this is just a matter of time till the next one, because this system that they use and the weaponization of the judiciary and the police is to break you. It's to make sure that your time isn't spent on what it should be, which is creating content. I've reversed it because I've turned this whole story into a documentary, which I'm going to premiere on the 1st of June in London, which I'm looking forward to because I've been banned for 6 months. So now I'm organising a massive rally against two-tier policing, and I'm going to erect a huge screen outside Parliament and show my film, which is going to absolutely humiliate.
Yeah, well, I love that. That's a great plan that you have in place. But honestly, Tommy, I mean, you talk about lawfare. We have that here in the United States. They constantly go after innocent Americans because they don't like what you have to say. And the process is the punishment, whether they're stacking you with all these legal expenses or just wasting your time to come to court dates that you really shouldn't have to be at in the first place. So my question to you, right, the police, obviously, they maced you while your hands were behind your back. They immediately arrested you as soon as you really arrived. You know, you are allowed to go to protest and you should be able to speak your mind, but they don't want you to do that. And then they cost you over 60,000 pounds, as you put it earlier as well. Are you going to sue? Because that's exactly what it sounds like to us.
I am going to sue, but let's remember, so this has been, it's been accepted now that everything they've done was unlawful. The last time they done this, they whisked me off the streets in Leeds when I was reporting outside of court. Within 2 hours, they sentenced me to 13 months in jail. I spent 11 weeks straight away on solitary confinement, and I was released when it got before a judge for the unlawful actions again of the court. But so no one's heads rolled on that. I didn't get any compensation on that. In fact, they changed the law and they retried me a year later on the same case, but under a different law. And then they sent me back to jail. So they get away with what they want. But because this has been deemed an unlawful arrest, it means that everything was unlawful. So, yes, I am going to sue them. I will. I put a message up yesterday saying to the Metropolitan Police Force, the next time I see you in court, you're the ones who are going to have to be defending yourselves because your actions have been unlawful. But the thing is, they're used as a weapon and it works. I have a platform, yeah, Brianna. You've spoke about America. Look what they've done to the January 6th protesters. Look at the innocent people. Look at the grandmothers. Look at the parents. Look at the fathers. Look what they've done to the Proud Boys. Look at the weaponization of the court system. Look at all the rioters for Black Lives Matter getting off, not getting prisoned, getting let go. We have politicized courts, and when the target is on you, they will get you. Yeah, they will use that system to find you, to break you, to financially destroy you. That's what they're doing. So the sooner people realize that, that's why I wanted to make this film, to make the film say it isn't about me. Like, some people may celebrate the fact that I'm having my speech attacked, that my freedom of assembly is gone. I'm not the target. You are. Yeah, you're all the target. Okay, you think it's me. So, and I go in this film and we look at other people they've done it to, who they've given these bail conditions. They literally fabricate charges so then they can control you under bail conditions from court, limiting where you go, limiting your access to the internet. That's what they're doing in the UK. You can't even talk about these issues. I have a platform. I'm very well known. So when it happened to me like this, I was able to gauge mass support from people to fund a fight. How many people in Great Britain, because I know loads of them, and how many people in America are having their lives absolutely destroyed, their finances bankrupt due to a politicized court system? How many people are having tax investigations? They weaponize everything. You speak out, you challenge a narrative. This is an attack And that's why we look at in this film called Lawfare, a totalitarian state. Britain already is a totalitarian state. I will prove that in this film. And I don't. There will be no doubts by the end of watching this film. People are going to be shocked with what they see as a total abuse of power. I've got judges lying. I will prove Dame Victoria Sharp, the lead judge of the Old Bailey, totally lied in my court case. Totally lied. And the media and journalists, rather than sitting in court and seeing lies and challenging it, they are the weapon. They come out of court and they pump those lies to the public. And I'm going to prove that time and time again and really get people and challenge people's minds to awaken them. Because this has happened to me. But as I said, I'm able to talk about it. I'm here talking about it now. How many people has this happened to whose lives are broken? We don't even hear about.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, constantly I'm talking to January 6th defendants who are in prison right now. You know, you mentioned the Proud Boys. You know, we have a man who wasn't even at the rally on January 6th. His name is Enrique Tarrio. And because the United States, 22 years is what they gave him. Mm-hmm. And that poor man is sitting in prison right now. And they don't even want to end it at 22 years. So it's not, that's not their, just the final amount that they want. The DOJ is actually appealing that. They originally wanted a full 32 years for a man who never even showed up to the protest, was actually in police custody for other allegations. And so we see this here all the time, but it's not just in the UK and the United States. You know, you actually had someone speak out on your behalf who you have constant disagreements with, we'll say. His name is, and you guys might know him, Andrew Tate. But he spoke out on your defense. Let's take a listen.
I tweeted today in support of Tommy Robinson. He argues against Islam. He's pro-Israel. I'm strongly against both of those viewpoints. However, the case against him was bullshit. It was lawfare. They were trying to shut up somebody who they don't like. They were using the legal system to punish a dissident voice in a country that's supposed to be free. And he quite rightly won his case, which he deserved to win. He is against corrupt governments, at least. Let's all agree on getting rid of that first. We can argue the details later. But the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Plus, I know I'm on a personal basis. I don't need everybody to agree with everything I say. I need people to reject the slave programming.
So, Tommy, that's somebody often who you have disagreements with, especially when it comes to religion. But here he is speaking up on your behalf. How important is it for everyone across the country or across the world, I should say, to unify? Because, well, we can't keep winning these wars against all of these like globalists and people that want to silence us by, you know, being divided. We've got to win this together. So what's your response to hearing Tate just speak out on your behalf?
I respect Andrew for that, taking that stance, because I know he's received a big backlash. I know he's received a big backlash from his Muslim followers. But yeah, I do respect him. And I think it is massively important. It's massively important. Now, do you know when this happened to me? The likes of Nigel Farage never condemned it. When I was imprisoned in 2018, Nigel Farage didn't condemn it. He actually said, I should be there. Then it was all proven unlawful. So there's certain people in our realm of politics who have platforms who need to use those platforms. Nigel Farage, when he got his bank accounts closed, started talking about it. He should have been talking about when our bank accounts were closed. Yeah. In 2009, my first bank accounts went, when I first started my activism. Well, and on the sense of the Proud Boys, you see what Tarrio's doing, 22 years. My heart breaks for him. I went back and I watched an interview when I was on with them guys when they started the Proud Boys. And I said to him, I led the English Defence League, yeah? You need to get ready, boys, because they're coming for you, yeah? If you've aligned and you've created chapters in towns and cities and you're a resistance to their narrative, they are going to break you and they're going to come for you like you do not understand, yeah? Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what's happened now. I pray that Donald Trump gets in. I pray he releases all of these January 6th protesters. On regards to Andrew Tate, yeah, I'm grateful that he used his platform to speak up. He has done before. At the same time, I disagree with lots of Andrew, but I know Andrew before he was top G. Yeah, we're from the same hometown. Yeah, I know him. I know the brothers. I think Tristan just put a big statement out today telling people to shut up, saying I've been in his house, I've met his children. I know him before these politics. Yeah, we know each other. We're from the same place. We're from the same estate. So, which is mad, isn't it? We're both from Luton. What's happened in Luton? But it's yeah. I just think that what's happening, everyone needs to speak up. But it's always the way. There's so many Republicans that don't speak out when they should speak out. The same in the UK. You don't have to agree with someone to speak up. When Andrew Tate was arrested, I come out strongly, strongly saying you do not just believe what you're being told. Yeah, you can't just believe it. OK, because I know they lie. And I saw lies in Andrew Tate's case. And I saw people sit on TV and lie. And I thought, you're lying, because I was there. I was there at that time. And you're lying on certain issues. So, yeah, I just think that I've been disappointed by many who at the same time, even our news presenters yesterday, none of them really spoke about this case. They should be demanding something happen about it. The police need to be held accountable. Mark Rowley, who's the head of Metropolitan Police Force, needs to resign. He needs to resign because I think now the Metropolitan Police Force has become a laughing stock to the world. It used to be the envy of the world. Everyone now knows we have total two-tier policing in the UK.
Yeah. Well, I think this speaks volumes, Tommy. Number one, they erased the footage or disappeared. We'll say it disappeared to play nice. And they couldn't find it.
His cameras, he dropped, like, their statements were just ridiculous. Do you know the police officer who maced me? He says that I was swinging my arms everywhere. I was handcuffed. Yeah. And he says I was about to break free from lawful custody. There's about 30 police officers all around me. I was just standing there. They just lied. I'm thinking this is all on camera, yeah? They lied. And then they all erased, deleted, altered forms. And then even with all of this, the news, they've had to report that the case was dismissed. But they haven't gone in and reported the facts at all.
Yeah.
I you know what I said happened that was so great yesterday at my court trial? Rebel Media attended. Ezra sent a journalist, Sheila Gunn-Reed, over from Canada. We have to rely on journalists from Canada. She came over and live-tweeted my court case. Mayor Tusi, we've got some big new rising citizen journalists in the UK whose accounts, Mayor Tusi is on YouTube, has gone up to 500,000. He goes to demonstration, he reports. He come to my court case. The Voice of Wales are the biggest group in Wales now. They come to my court case. Potkin, another Iranian dude, he comes to my court case. All of these citizen journalists come and they live-tweeted everything that was happening. Because they all have their own mass followings in now. No one needs the BBC or the mainstream to tell them what's going on. They got the facts from court. That, I believe, forced the news, forced the BBC into reporting certain parts of the case. Because if not, they wouldn't have reported all these things. It would have just been case collapse and that's all people would have got told. But they were forced due to the rise of citizen journalism. It's the most important thing. And do you know what? I think last time I was on here, Brianna, I moaned because Elon Musk had me search banned. He removed my search ban. He removed it about 2 weeks ago. My followers have gone, I think they've gone up 30,000 in the last 2 weeks. My engagement, I've had 12 million video views in the last 7 days. Everything's gone through the roof. So I'm happy. I've got my reach back. I'm in the process of creating a fabulous film on June the 1st. It's going to be a brilliant documentary. I'm not just saying that. It's my work. But yeah, I'm excited. and the purpose of these cases, when they do this, the purpose is to break you, yeah? It doesn't break me, and it galvanizes an army behind me. It's like you're messing up every time, yeah? So it's like you create a movement. It's not just about me.
Yeah, it's not. But, you know, Tommy, you're a fighter, and you fight back all the time. And speaking of that, because you were bringing up the media, this actually made me laugh. We're going to play a clip, and I'm sure our audience is going to love it. It's you destroying a journalist from Sky News. It was a great one. Let's take a listen.
I am a journalist, yeah? Unfortunately for you, I'm a far better journalist than people like yourself, and I have more trust in people like yourself. It's the reason...
Most journalists don't have criminal convictions, though.
I've never been tried by a jury.
Well, you're about to be.
No,
you're about to be.
No,
well, you're about to go to... You're about to have a trial.
If you knew your facts, there's no jury waiting in.
But it is a trial.
By an appointed judge.
Yes.
By an appointed judge.
Yes, and that's due to the severity of the alleged offence. And that's what courts do. They start off at the magistrate's court and it goes up to the Crown Court.
It's due to the severity of the alleged offence. What was my alleged offence? You've got one in my face.
No, I haven't.
Yes, you have.
No, I'm bored now.
What's my alleged offence?
I'm bored now.
Oh, yeah, you're bored. What a great journalist.
Okay.
This is the problem, yeah? What is my alleged offence? You don't know, do you?
Your alleged offence.
Are you getting up on your
phone? He's charged with refusing to leave an anti-Semitism protest in London.
I haven't got a clue.
He's charged with failing to comply a Section 35 direction excluding a person from an area. So do you plead guilty or not guilty to that?
Are you the judge?
I'm asking you.
Oh, man. I love it when you get a journalist. She didn't know what she was talking about. She didn't even know what you were charged with, man. When she's sitting here telling you the severity of your charge, she had no idea.
She hadn't even watched my film. We found that out. I said, have you even watched what happened? No. So basically, this is the judges, the journalists like this who pointed out she had 25 years experience, they're sent there with a pre-written agenda. Yeah. They're there. They'll video. She doesn't know what I'm there for. Doesn't know my charge. She's just there to report what she's told to report. So, which is the point I made of her. Do you know, she left. So she come into court. She sat down. And when this video went live, she didn't think we knew who she was. So when I added her on Twitter, I was obviously sat in the dock. So I'm sat in the dock and I'm getting the video up and then I've added her on Twitter and I've just looked across And she's looked at her phone and gone, she's looked up, yeah? And the thing is, their monopoly and their power has gone. She's standing in there thinking that they have control of this situation, yeah? You've got no control anymore, mainstream, yeah? I'm going to video you. This video is going to be seen by millions. Your little Sky News piece, whether you lie or not, is getting seen by a couple of 100,000 people. You are not the media anymore. We are. You're losing again. Elon Musk giving us back our voice. Our figures going through the roof. The public are searching for our news, not hers. Yeah. As I said, 25 years of journalism, I don't even know who you are, love. Yeah. But it's ridiculous. And she totally humiliated and embarrassed herself. But that is the mainstream. That is the mainstream media who don't even investigate anything. They don't know anything about what they're there for. She's just there. She knows I'm a bad guy because she's been told I'm a bad guy. And that's what she's going to report. And the contempt she had, it was the attitude she had. Even when we went back into court, when she came into court, I walked past her and I went, listen, right? I said, I'm only having a laugh, yeah? Because I am. I'm only having a bit of a humour outside court. It's quite funny, all right? She hated me. But I said the next day, I said, she's going to have had a terrible night because she was viral all over the internet. And every comment is about her pathetic journalism.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You need to call it out because they need to be called out on this nonsense. They do it all the time. And they don't even think. I mean, Tommy, I worked in the corporate media world for years. I was always the one getting into fights in the editorial meetings because I was the one asking questions that nobody wanted to have asked. And why are we covering this? But, you know, this isn't true. This is – and they never like to talk about it. And so people like her thrive 25 years in the corporate media world. She's good. People like me, I think maybe 5-6 years and I was out. So that's how these things work. And independent journalism will save our country in the US. I know in UK, it will save the UK as well. Because, well, let's be honest, Tommy, this isn't going to get any better until we all start pushing back together. Because they can't take us all down. So we got to keep pushing back. We got to keep fighting back. And your film that's coming out on June 1st is going to do just that. Tommy, where can everyone catch your film, especially those in the US? Where can we go look at it?
You'll catch it on my Twitter, at T Robinson New Era. We'll release it on Twitter. You'll also catch it on my Rumble, Tommy Robinson Official. Yeah, it's going to bang. And you know what? I see it. I laugh and I smile. I've destroyed the BBC, yeah? BBC tried to hit me with Panorama. We absolutely destroyed them. Home Not Hate, the biggest far-left organisation, a bit like Media Matters in the United States. We done expose. We destroyed them. And now I'm about to destroy the Metropolitan Police Force's reputation to the world.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Rightfully so. Tommy, listen, they've earned this one. So I'm all on board for this. Tommy Robinson, thank you for everything you do. We really appreciate it. We really appreciate your honesty and how you just don't back down. More people need to be like you.
Thank you, man. Cheers.
Talk to you soon. If you enjoyed that interview, make sure you hit that subscribe button right now. If you're watching on Rumble or YouTube, give us a thumbs up. Or if you're listening on any of the popular podcasting platforms like iTunes or Spotify, you could also give us a 5-star review for every episode. It greatly helps us out. And if you'd like to support our show, you could do so by heading over to supportbree.com. That's supportbree.com. You could become a monthly donor, or you could just make a one-time donation and you could set the dollar amount to anything you'd like. It helps keep this show and keeps independent journalism thriving. So we greatly appreciate it. Again, folks, it's supportbree.com. We'll be right back. Now, often on this show, we talk about how 5G towers are really just popping up everywhere these days, but it should be concerning because the health risks are deeply concerning. And there's studies that have been going into this for years now. One that just recently caught my attention actually came out back in 2011. And I really think you should be paying attention to it. Now, in the study itself, which was put out by the International Agency for Research on Cancer, it pretty much details specifically how towers less than 5G, so we'll go with 2 and 4G at the time when this all came out, what kind of issues those created for folks. Now, specifically, we're talking about reproductive issues, and it did actually find that there were issues related to 2 and 4G. Now, in it, they just detail saying there was significant evidence about reproductive development issues. Even they saw this in animals. And then it goes on to saying that they saw this as well in embryos and newborns, which is deeply concerning as well. So joining me now to discuss all of this is Gina Paith. She is the founder of Redemption Shield. Gina, thank you for bringing this to my attention, because I never really saw this study. It kind of flew under the radar, but I think it's really interesting because we see all these reports coming out now of, you know, younger women and even young men having issues having children. And, you know, a lot of the times we dismiss it and just say it's probably because they're vaccinated, but there also could be other things contributed to that. And this might be one of them. So tell us, you've read through this study. What did you find the most concerning in this?
I think what concerns me the most is the reproductive issues that people may be facing. I mean, you think about it now, children are getting cell phones at the age of 8 and 9 and 10 years old, and they're carrying these devices right in their pockets near their reproductive organs. And we're talking years of this abuse of using these cell phones that, of course, years ago, they were in the lower range frequencies. But even in 2011, they were seeing these enormous amounts of reproductive issues as far as, you know, these frequencies coming off of devices and off of cell towers and so forth. So this is definitely something that we need to be concerned about as parents. As we are giving these devices to our children, we also want to think about getting little Faraday bags that you can put those phones in and you can protect your child from the EMF coming off the cell phone. And I think those are wonderful. Right now, we have a crossbody that it actually comes with a nice little cord, and this can be worn just over your body. And this blocks the EMF. It has two layers of military grade fabric inside. And this is a great option. We have it in the new gray color. And then we also have, of course, the black colors. We have pretty much so many different things that you can choose from as far as a Faraday bag goes, so that when your child is using those devices, they can block that.
And I think that's really important too, because this is easy. This is an easy solution. And most of the time, you know, I do it often. I'm very guilty of it. But now I have my fanny pack. Thank you. I've got them in two different colors. I got it in gray and black. But I constantly would have to, you know, you're working out, you just kind of put it up in your strap, or you put it in your side pocket, and you don't even really think about it, but you're putting that right next to your reproductive organs, and you would just assume that the damage to that could be pretty bad. I know I didn't think about it at first, but you had me thinking about all of this, especially with all the studies that we've been looking at together. It is deeply concerning. Now, it's not the only products you do offer. It's a very important solution that we could all get our hands on these days. I've got a couple of them right now. I'll just, you know, kind of blot out right now, but I've got the grounding mats. I've got one on my bed right now, as well as one under my dog bed for my little pups. So they're sleeping in that these days, and they're grounding themselves. But what other products do you think are really important? Because I do think that the Wi-Fi is probably a big issue, our Wi-Fi routers. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, pretty much everybody has Wi-Fi in their home now, unless they've really learned about this and now they've hired an electrician to get using their Ethernet. So this is a change that's happening in society where people are going back to hardwire. However, at least 90% of the population is using Wi-Fi, and we don't realize how powerful it is. And I actually just shot a little video today, and I think it'll be really helpful for you to see the difference in the power that's coming off your Wi-Fi router versus having that cover that will mitigate the frequencies.
Yes. Let's take a listen.
Hi, everyone. I'm downstairs here at my router, and I have the Wi-Fi router cover draped over the top of my router, and I'm going to show you the difference in power using an RF meter. Now, right now, with the cover on, I'm getting about 15, 13, 15. It's bouncing around because it measures in different directions of microwatts per square meter of radiation. Now I'm going to lift up on the router cover and get rid of that. And now I'm bouncing all the way up to 180, 193, 97, 100, 200 microwatts per square meter of radiation coming off of this router. That is why you need a Wi-Fi router cover.
I I love that cute video. So first off, thank you for taking it. I appreciate that. It really does give you insight, though, on what these issues with the routers are. So I agree everyone should get one. I've got one, too, in my home. So thank you for that. But that's not the only type of test that you could do these days. So I'll let you take the floor from here.
Yeah, well, some people might say, well, maybe any fabric will block that radiation coming off the router. And that is kind of an interesting comment, because maybe people are just thinking that on the other side of this camera. And so right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn on my meter with the sound. So this is what's right here. I'm actually going to put a little dish towel over the top, and you can still hear it. It's still strong. But now I'm going to use the Wi-Fi router cover. And look at that.
It's amazing.
It really is amazing how much it does block those frequencies.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it really is. I mean, and that alone is probably something that everyone should have in their home, honestly. If you're gonna get anything, I would highly recommend the cover. That's the first step everyone should be taking these days. So again, folks, it's redemptionshield.com. And then, you know, you're kind enough, Gina, to extend this offer to our audience. But just because you guys are listening right now, there are sale prices that you're going to see on the website directly right now. But in addition to that, for listening today, you're going to get an additional 10% off when you use the promo code BREE. That's B-R-E. So when you're using that in checkout, you're going to get an extra 10% in savings, which I think is absolutely incredible. So again, folks, it's redemptionshield.com. And then when you go there, make sure you use that promo code to save some extra cash. I know you've got a blanket there, which is one of my favorites. So I'll let you show the blanket.
So I haven't talked about the blanket with any of the podcasts. So I'm really excited to share. We have 3 different versions of blankets in a couple different sizes with each material. And today I'm just going to show you the gray checkered. It's a cotton material. And on the other side is a silver lined material. And this is amazing because if you ever want to sit at your couch or at your chair, you can actually pull this little throw blanket right up over your body and you can put your laptop on your body again. So this is something I use very frequently, or if I'm on my phone scrolling, I will have my blanket covering me. Now, what's exciting about the blanket, Bree, is that it has the grounding effect to it. So just like I've shown you in the past about grounding, I'm going to do that right now with the actual blanket so you can see the difference. All right. So I'm going to put this blanket to the side because if it's touching me, I'm going to ground. And this is a nice big blanket. So I am going to test the electricity in my body right now. And so right now I have 2.9 volts of electricity. When I touch that blanket, look what happens.
Wow.
And now I lift up on the blanket and those electrons come right back in my body and then touching the blanket. So I've had a lot of people say they sleep so much better, even at their couch when they want to take a little cat nap. They're finding it's easy to fall asleep and take a nap. So those are really nice blankets to give as gifts or a Mother's Day gift. But these are wonderful, and I'm really proud of it because it's something that I really created on my own. There weren't many blankets out on the market, and it was like, you know, I think that's something people will be able to really use. So I'm excited about the blankets.
Yeah, I'm excited about them too. And you mentioned Mother's Day. This is a great idea for Mother's Day because, well, I think we're about 18 days away from Mother's Day. And so this is ideal to order one of these now. And again, folks, when you use the promo code BREE, you're going to get the extra 10% off on top of the sale prices, which is amazing. So thank you for doing that for us, Gina. I love this. This is a great gift idea. You got plenty of other items up on redemptionshield.com right now that I highly recommend. Everyone just check out. There's hats, there's other accessories that you guys can look over. And so I'd recommend y'all do so. Again, the fanny pack is my favorite. I've got it in gray and black myself, as well as the mattress pad as well. So there's so many different options. There's so many ways you can go to protect yourself against these dangerous radiation frequencies. So we are so thankful, Gina, that you come here and you talk to us about these things, because I learn something new every day. And I'm just so thankful that you do come on our show to talk about it. Again, folks, it's redemptionshield.com. with the extra 10% discount when you use the promo code Brie. It's a great Mother's Day gift. You should do that right now, just so you're not too late, because we always put it off on the side and then we miss it. And then we're like, oh, no, now I'm not going to be able to get it in time. So do it now. Don't delay. Gina, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it. And I love all of those tests that you've done.
Thanks, Brianna.
Mother's Day is just a few days away, folks. We're about 18 days out. And well, if you haven't gotten your mother or your wife or your girlfriend a gift, I've got an idea for you. And you also be supporting a patriot, so that's good. Head over to MyPillow.com right now. There's brand new items on his website, the 2.0s especially. And well, they are incredible. Let's just go through some of my favorite picks. I've gifted a lot of people the slippers. That is their favorite. Again, it's my mom, my dad, my best friend, my other friend, and everyone loves it. They say that the slippers are amazing, and they're the new ones that just recently came out. So grab a set of those. Now, when you use the promo code Brie, you're going to get up to 66% off right now, which is incredible. But on top of it too, you're going to get these great deals. He's got this extravaganza going on right now on towels. There's also sandals on his website as well. So there's all these great options right now that you guys could get in on when you use the promo code Brie. That's B-R-E. And look, I mean, this is incredible. With this promo code, you could potentially be getting slippers for $25, towels, I mean, pillowcases. I mean, look at all the specials that are going on right now on his website. And it's great because you're supporting a man who is obviously being targeted by the regime and everyone who doesn't want to talk about election fraud, which we all know took place. But also you're supporting our show as well. We obviously are partnering with MyPillow, and we greatly love and appreciate his products. And so this is a great pairing. Again, folks, we've got dog beds for $25 on this website right now. Beach towels also he's got up here. Pet blankets. I mean, the list goes on and on. So if you're looking to secure up to 66% off, you could do so. Just use the promo code Brie. That's B-R-E at checkout. And make sure you get your discounts. Collect them. So again, promo code Brie, B-R-E, over at MyPillow.com right now. Thank you guys so much for listening tonight. We greatly appreciate everything. And we love speaking to you as always and hearing from you. So make sure you leave us some comments and let us know how we're doing. We'll be back here again tomorrow night. So thank you. And if you enjoyed that segment, make sure you hit that like button. And if you want to see the news before it becomes the news, you have to subscribe to our channel. And well, if you have a liberal friend that you're looking to save, make sure you share this content with them.